Welcome to the mystical world we live in with Almi. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almi.
Today, we are so happy to be with you. What a wonderful way to spend an hour. My name is Almin, and I've got a couple of your questions here that I will elaborate on today, and we'll explore mysteries by your inquisitive minds, coming up with the questions, and hopefully I will provide the answers. So, several people have asked, after reading the Gift of the Unicorn book, exactly what is meant by these different cycles of life. Are they like screens? Are they arenas? How exactly can one describe them so they understand? And then another thing that they wanted to understand is if all these cycles of existence happened, then, you know, the mother and father just wipe them out as though they've never happened. Is it worthy of our time to study them? And, of course, it is, because we don't want to reproduce the past. We want to learn its lessons. However, at the same time, you don't want to treat something as real when it's been erased. So I had a conversation with the mother that I wrote down, and I've hunted it down through my notes so I can share it with you today. Because I had the same questions. And in asking Mother, it's provided me with quite a few answers. So I asked Mother to explain more about the nature of the dream. If those cycles of the fall was called a dream, those trillions of years of cycle of ascension and descension, I want to understand what she means by it being a dream. She said, what part do you want to understand? And I answered her and said, well, if it is a dream, it implies that it didn't happen. Yet you had me transcribe much of the history of these cycles in the Gift of the Unicorns and in the Revelations of Isis book. It was in the plates, and I translated it from the plates, which is called Opening the Doors of Heaven. So Mother answered like this. She says, for characters in the dream, it is certainly very real. But now it's time to wake up and know the difference between what was a dream and what is not. And then I said to her, the story of the fall, and indeed your fall into forgetfulness, did it happen? And Mother said, I am the dreamer and cannot enter the dream except through a projection. And then I got a little panicky. I said, but I've written in my books exactly as instructed that the one real mother is here on earth. What about that? And she said, be at peace. You have written truth. But you have also written that today's truth is not tomorrow's truth. It's just that you don't understand yet. So at that point, what I did is I asked Mother if she would please explain to me. She says, there have been times when you have been sent to work in the cosmos that you have had to have a hologram of you teach your class. The hologram has your knowledge, not someone else's. It even has your personality traits. It is, and it is not, the real you teaching the class. And I will just confess to my listeners that once or twice I've had to do these radio shows, not as me, but as a hologram, because I wasn't here for the recording because Mother had sent me places. And so the question is, it has it's not you, but it is you, in that it has some of your traits. And I questioned her. I said, it has an unreal feeling to reality, though. Also, because I live as a physical being, the memories of the classes feel as though I had lived it myself, even though it feels sort of unreal and dreamlike. And Mother said, yes, And because you participated in the class's learning vicariously through the hologram, didn't you grow from it? And of course, you know, I answered absolutely. And she said that in the same way, she's participated in the dream and she's learned from it. So I asked her about a depiction of how these screens of the cosmos happen. These, and within the screen, now I am not computer literate. I cannot even switch on the computers that I own. I write all my books longhand because of the fact that it's the way that the mind can stay empty and the writing can flow through my pen. But I imagine that when one has a screen on your computer, that there are different windows that you can open up. And so I wanted to understand about, you know, were these windows, were they entirely different screens, different computers with programs? And we've had some of both in our past. But there was a device given by the cat people, and the cat people is sort of what the Sphinx is programmed after. But, of course, they're humanoid-looking. I described them very carefully in the Isis book, in Opening the Doors of Heaven. I was in their libraries. Some of them wear short togas. Most of them, the males do. The women wear long ones, and the older men wear long ones. And these togas, they're about 5'11" maximum, 5'8". They're very stockily built. They're stocky with muscles. They've got quite a bit of hair on their forearms. Their hair on their head is very wiry. They're called the Jean Galabruc. And the hair on their head is very wiry in shades varying from a very sort of strawberry blonde to all the way to auburn, but it's always reddish. Their skin looks like a redhead skin. Their facial features are African-looking in that the nose is flatter, the cheekbones are a little broader, the eyes slant slightly up, giving them very much of a cat-like experience, look to it. The Jean Galabruc gave us a device that is just phenomenal. And you will see it in Opening the Doors of Heaven. It's called the Estanglé Uvafli. It aligns DNA and it aligns realities in the what used to be the cosmic DNA, and it also it coordinates time so that all kingdoms come on the same time with this device of the Estanglé Uvafli. However, it's a model of the screens and its windows of the cycles of ascension and descension that we've been through. And so the listeners can have sort of an idea. In the middle, there's a cube. Inside the cube, there are various spheres, circles, flat disks, doing a butterfly motion back and forth, and others are stationary, and then they're spinning around as well inside this cube. Around the cube, there is an octagon. Around the octagon, there is a wide ring consisting of three layers of rings. And inside that, it has the crystalline structure of the DNA crystals. And so I'm speaking to Mother about the square inside that cube inside it, because, you know, on a flat piece of paper, it looks like a square. So I'm saying to her, you know, in the Jean Galabruc's device or depiction of these windows, are we referring to life in the central cube? And she says, yes. And I said, is that the place all life was dreamt into existence? Because that's where the history of the cycles of the fall took place, in this cube. And she said, not all life. Aspects of myself exist in all realms, of course. Also, the one known as God the Father existed in another screen, which is around the screen where we've had all these cycles of the fall, and he is in the octagon. And I said, and the earth? You have said earth is the cradle of civilization. And mother said she is, in the square, as you referred to it. She did not exist in the octagon. So then I asked her, because mother had a projection of herself, if we understand so far what she's saying, enter into creation that was created inside this, say, square, let's just call it the computer screen, with various windows. And I'm asking her if God the Father entered in there as well. And I said, perhaps we should call that cube the dream within the dream, because the octagon was still a dream, wasn't it, Mother? And she said, still a dream, but a more lucid dream. God the Father entered the square of his own volition, also as a projection. And I said, but why? Because, and she answered, a projection of me was in the square, of course. Space has to have that to exist. See, she's saying that if she didn't come into creation, space could not have been kept open for us to have this experience and for us to be created. That is why she had to come into the dream. And the projection of her that came into the dream had to forget much to be able to stay in that box, to stay in that cube or that computer screen. So she says space has to have that to exist. The characters in the dream had, during the last ascension cycle, decided to use discordance as a method to do what other harmonious cycles couldn't, to provide the impetus to grow beyond the square. With their freedom of choice, they caused my projection much pain, a discordant emotion new to me. He wanted to help, but got trapped instead through his projection. Mother is saying here that because I often asked her, why didn't we do this as an adventure? Why did it have to be so hard? And she said, we basically, in this answer, we did. We did it as an adventure. We did it as our passion. We did it as joy. We tried multiple ways. In fact, there were 96 ways of pleasant ways that we tried to create a way in which Mother could get her children out of that screen into a more real reality, which was the octagon and beyond. And it didn't work. So finally, resistance and discordance was a method that was used to get them out of the box, which did happen, as I recall, last August 2007, the end week of that August. So I asked Mother, I said, so Father is here on earth. Yes, he will not reveal himself until I do. So he is for the first time out of the dreams and where you are. Yes, said Mother, we have waited for this. My children are no longer just a dream. How did he get trapped? And then she said, why don't you ask him? And I had never spoken directly to the Father before, because, you know, he wasn't available till last August. The imposter gods had pretended to be him, but were actually representing illusion. The true God of truth did not reveal himself till then. So, you know, I for the first time got to speak directly to the Father and ask him how he got trapped or how the fall happened. And we will share that with you as soon as we get back from our commercial break.
The brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
So the conversation with the father, which was my very first one, I had to actually wait some weeks to get, but finally I got it, and I wrote everything down exactly as it happened, so let me at this time share it with you. I said, Father, please tell me about the four. And he said, which one? You know, and I wasn't exactly sure what answer to give, because I said to him, I'm not really sure how many were there. And Father said there were trillions of dissensions between levels of existence. Each one's cause a little or a lot different. And then I asked him, did each one mirror to you a new portion of existence that needed to be refined? And he said, yes, each taught us something new. And then I said, but Father, what would you say the highest three or four causes were, the biggest ones of the four? And Father's answer was so true. I mean, since this conversation happened, I can absolutely bear testimony to this one. Even yesterday, another massive reason for the four was uncovered. The day before, one was uncovered. The day before, one was uncovered. So he said, we are still uncovering more and more. That's why life descended much further down than we anticipated. There were many unforeseen factors. According to your present understanding, what was the biggest factor? Creation had been tried different ways before, ways that didn't succeed. It was, as a result, unable to make the evolutionary leap to make it self-sustainable. This creation we are discussing, as you can see, is Mother's second attempt. And now, my brothers and sisters, second within a specific window. Trying to open a window, didn't like the program, close the window down, open the window again. There are windows and windows and windows within screens and screens and screens. But he was speaking specifically about it being Mother's second attempt at a specific experiment. So he said, I asked him, did she have to create you differently as well? And he said, yes. And I said, how was the second attempt done? He said, as you know, there are oceans of consciousness. Aspects of mothers that are contained at various levels of frequency. Unformed and unindividuated, awakened awareness are they. So let's just make quite sure that we understand this. He's saying that the oceans of consciousness, now my brothers and sisters, there are basically seven building blocks. And the building blocks are presence particles, life force particles, awareness particles, light and love particles joined into one, perception particles, self-perception particles, and materialized subatomic particles. These are the particles at seven different octaves of life. And in mind at rest, the only two particles that are present, whereas in the cosmos, all of these are present. All of them. It's just that at one level of life, one will be more prevalent, there'll be more of one, and another level of life, there'll be more of that one. But they're all present. In the oceans of consciousness, which we can also call pockets of mind at rest, what you have there is that you have, you don't have awareness, perception, light, love, self-perception, or material particles. You have only life force particles and only the presence particles. And those sort of oceans of consciousness is what he's referring to. They're unformed, unindividuated, and he says creations were created from these oceans, clustering the awareness into first individuated consciousness, then into forms within this individuated consciousness. And I'm not entirely sure what he means there, but what it is it says, where did the energy for this come from? I mean, it takes a lot of energy to produce an individuation. He's saying that these oceans were not supposed to, and they actually produced creations. Since the energy in latent form becomes tied up in this clustering process. See, energy in latent form, when something is created like a flower, it takes energy to do that because the energy is held in the flower itself. You are exactly on the right track. And, of course, when energy is drained, consciousness is lowered. So the source of the awareness, the ocean of consciousness, became drained and less able to provide the necessary awareness with each successive creation that would certainly produce a fall. The process of creation was inherently one of dissension. What had Mother done with her first attempt? And then I said she had not then yet created the oceans of consciousness. There was just mind at rest. And she attempted to create individuation out of that. But it was two-dimensional or shallow and too transient. And then Father said, and now? And I answered him, now she has decreed that the energy source no longer be the oceans of consciousness. Like herself, she creates a never-ending dynamo of energy, the inexhaustible energy source of her heart. Then she was that energy source. Then she uses that energy source to cluster awareness into form. The energy source becomes the being's heart center. Now, previously, Mother would draw energy out of these surrounding oceans of consciousness for creations, depleting the oceans of consciousness. And so they would grow less and less and less. However, she finally recognized that she just produces it out of her own heart. And Father says, thus every being's inexhaustible supply of energy produce enough to sustain their life indefinitely then? See, he's testing me. I said, yes, if they have enough praise, love, and gratitude. If they have a lot of these three primary attitudes, this will produce more than they need, and they'll be able to benefit all life by providing additional energy that raises consciousness. What I'm saying, because Mother had already explained this to me, and I think Father was testing to make sure that I understood. See, Mother said first that she provides all the energy necessary. She replenished the oceans of consciousness when she recognized this was a major cause of the fall, to use them as an energy supply. She then produced the energy supply necessary through her heart, but she gave each of us a most precious gift, my brothers and sisters. She gave us each in our heart center a supply, and that links to her in that it's a never-ending source of energy. So in other words, there's no need for us to age or decay. It can provide regeneration on a constant basis, but it depends on how much love, praise, and gratitude we have. Because if we live in those three ascension attitudes, the dynamo of energy in the heart produces. It can even produce more than we need, which will raise by grace the consciousness of everyone around us. So I asked Father, what are the other primary causes of the fall? And so Father said, within the last way of creating, before this way we've just discussed, where everyone produces their own energy, there were eight different lenses used as perspectives to shine our light through to create our children's environment. For instance, love, contentment, passion, joy were some of that. Some of these lenses. It is like shining the flashlight on different spots on the ceiling, or like shining it on one spot, but placing different filters in front of the light, I asked him. Perhaps both. New locations and different colors? Yes, he said, both scenarios at once. But of course, each light on the ceiling was surrounded by oceans of consciousness. And for them, it was vastly entertaining to watch the drama of the lives of the beings when the flashlight was illuminating a cosmos in their midst. One can say that in their own inactivity, they became addicted to the activity of others. Addicts will keep their addictions at all cost. And when the light was directed somewhere else, they attached unseen tubes to the mother's energy to create a type of relay station to where the light used to be in their midst. They formed a dimly lit screen on which they could get a reflection of the drama that was now being played out on a distant spot in the ceiling. But this lowered mother's energy, and each subsequent light spot became dimmer and dimmer, definitely a cause for a fall. So this is just so fascinating. Because, you see, my brothers and sisters, addiction has been one of the very primary problematic areas in the cosmos since the very inception of this spot on the ceiling with the flashlight, if you will, where the cosmos was created within. The reason being that initially, Mother could not for one second take her intent away from us. And the intent consists of focused emotion. She had to focus and keep her emotion going, or her creations would just have gone away. So what happened is that Mother had to perforce until she found a way to create them internally. Excuse me. Internally means that she doesn't have to watch the baby all the time. But when Mother is assuming a form of addiction for the sake of preserving our identities and our individuation, around her, everything mirrors that. So these oceans of consciousness, this vast sort of pockets of inactive consciousness that lay around the spot on the ceiling that Mother had illuminated for creation to take place in, and Father was saying that eight such spots were created and multiple cycles within them, so eight screens with many windows. So the oceans became so addicted, not having enough activity for themselves, they became totally addicted to the activity of all the beings in the screen. Now, you empower that which you focus on. So, you know, it increased our activity level. When Mother decided that cell's lens was exhausted and actually moved the spot to a different spot on the ceiling, those oceans were like a drug addict whose drug had been taken away. And so what they did is they created unseen tubes into the other cosmos and definitely into Mother's energy source, draining the energy so that they could, in fact, have a sort of a relay station and create a dim screen where the light spot used to be so they can continue watching the soap opera. So I asked him, I said, but Mother has an inexhaustible supply of energy. How could this be? The calculated amount of energy expended in creating did not take into consideration that eventually there would be up to 7 drainages of energy occurring from the oceans of consciousness. Mother produced as much as she thought the cosmos needed, but she didn't realize that it was being drained by 7 different tubes. How could Mother not see these drainage tubes? Well, each time this occurred, life fell. And it is difficult to see that which vibrates at an octave higher than where you exist. The reasons humans don't see angels, for instance. So then I asked Father, what would be a major cause of the fall at, for instance, one of these lower levels of existence? In every spot of light, there were trillions of dissensions, weren't there? Yes. And then he goes on to explain one of the major sources at the lower levels where we fell to because of the drainage of energy that had occurred. Now, I'll be happy to share that with you, and we'll take a short break, and then I'll do that.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almaine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Elvispada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almaine's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almaine experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness. The state of no longer identifying with the ego in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master and in addition continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nahual and seer, Almaine's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the Heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the Heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almaine's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
My brothers and sisters, before I go into Father's answer when I asked him, when life fell to these lower levels, what then was a very major reason for the fall of consciousness that produced, you know, trillions of cycles of descension, ascension that we've been living through since created life began? To understand his answer, I just want to reiterate two little things that we've had multiple times on shows. But for those of you that are new to our show, I just want to make 100% sure that you understand what he's talking about. And so we've spoken often about the internal dialogue in the mind. And a wonderful illumination is given in his answer, in that he is actually saying how that dialogue initiated, how it happened in the first place. The dialogue in the mind is what differentiates somebody, no matter how good they are at what they can do in terms of miracles, but it differentiates a master from somebody who's not. If one has the option to live in silence of the mind, when in God consciousness, it's when you are not relating to others. In the ascended mastery levels, it is all the time. But mastery, loosely termed, is someone who has gotten rid of his internal dialogue. And so that is just something that internal dialogue maintains our worldviews. And a master has no worldviews. Internal dialogue is also maintains belief systems, and the belief systems are the prison bars that keep us in ego identification, that state of being in which we identify with the body, with the emotions, and with the mind. So that's the first part. The second part is to understand the subpersonalities. I have explained to you that the directions collapsed in October of 2007. But the bottom line of it is that their nature still exists, even if it exists as a field. So what I'm trying to say is things that were grouped according to the directions, they still might have those specific characteristics. And one such potent example are the subpersonalities of man. Man, that most magnificent creature, is the microcosm of the macrocosm. In the South, we have the inner nurturer. In the nurturer's job is just simply to nurture the being and all the other subpersonalities, the nurturer, parents, the inner child. It is not judgmental. It just gives love and nurturing. Then in the West, we have the inner child. The inner child, when needy, makes us choose very poor relationships because it's looking to be parented. It's looking to not be abandoned. When it is properly parented by the inner nurturer, the inner child gives us our spontaneity, our intuitiveness, the fun of life. It is a magnificent subpersonality. In the East, we have the inner sage, or the wise one, or the elder. The inner sage is the one that looks over our life, takes time for deep, meaningful living each day, tells us what life is trying to tell us, figures out the clarity of our life, which means not that we try and seek a big meaning, it is what is our next step. This is our elder. In the North, we have the inner warrior. And the inner warrior protects our boundaries, guards the sacred of the elder, the innocence of the child, the feminine vulnerability within all of us of the nurturer. It guards its inner family. It also guards against any thoughts that are disempowering within. And so that's not where the subpersonalities end. I've written very much about those because they're so important, but we have additional subpersonalities of the direction of above and the direction of below, and they receive marching orders from the direction of within. Let's take a look at this, because this is the part you will need to understand to know what the Father is saying to my question. There is a form of therapy called interpretive dance that is available. And interpretive dance is where somebody dances out an issue. and I've never witnessed this, but one of the therapists in one of my classes, she's an ascended master, has very often described this because she uses it with abused children. But they dance out that which is the issue at hand. And they perform without any cognition. It just is pulled from their instinctual nature, which is the direction of below. It's the wild woman archetype. It's the green man or wild man archetype. It's the instinctual nature. Now, when somebody does that, others hold the space. Often it's just one person holding the space, observing what that person is doing, so they can say back to the person afterwards, when the person is out of this instinctual expression, I observed that you seem to interpret this and this and this. Is this how you felt? But they get feedback from the observer, and the observer holds the space. If the observer feels that this dance is getting too wild, they will actually call others in to help hold a firm boundary so that that person can feel safe enough to continue to pull out whatever needs to come from the instinctual nature. Our direction of above is the observer. It's the high mind. And it holds the space for our wild dance. The direction of below gives the wild dance. So, this is necessary for us to know. So let's take a look at what I asked Father about what would be a major cause of the fall at one of these lower levels that we fell to after the energy was drained by the oceans of consciousness. He said one of the major causes would be when internal dialogue formed. Again, the result of a miscalculation. When Mother made me, we were to play roles similar to the directions of above and below. I would provide, as high mind, the boundaries for her instinctual aspects to express within. And I said, so her wild woman, her instinctual nature, the direction of below. I asked him that, and he said, exactly. Now, I just want to interject here, my brothers and sisters of light, that what the wild woman and wild man acts out, which is why it's so imperative that our instinctual nature is full and alive and expressing, is that the below is the very first place where potential is interpreted. So Mother was pulling potential from her direction of within, which is her heart, and this potential didn't just have a form and a face, but she would express passionately this instinctual knowledge that is trying to put potential into actuality, and the Father's job was to hold the boundaries, observe it, you see. So he says, I was made at the time with the ability to contain all that the Mother was capable of expressing, all that she would express within what you call the spot on the ceiling, the arena in which the cosmos formed. What was not foreseen is that my creation would inspire her to such heights and depths of emotion that they would spill over the calculated boundaries. When confronted with what one is incapable of recognizing or experiencing oneself, confusion arises. Confusion in me drained energy, and the cosmos lost consciousness. Then what about how the internal dialogue arose? I asked him. And he said, I tried to do what I was meant to create boundaries. But not having the necessary wherewithal, it turned into resistance to life. Thoughts form as a result of opposing life. It put me into mind, and I started taking her at face value. I could no longer see her infinite qualities and beauty. When one is in your mind, you cannot truly hear, my brothers and sisters, nor can you truly see. And I answered the father. I said, that makes me cry. And then I asked him what mother did. Let's take a commercial break, and we will be right back.
Almien continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almien is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almien, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almien at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
Brothers and sisters, I wish to just clarify a little bit of what the Father's answer pertains to, and then we'll see further that what he said. But in describing this particular cause of the fall, Father is saying that when Mother first made him, it brought such joy to her heart that her emotions started spilling across the boundaries that he was designed to hold for her. He had the wherewithal to hold all emotions and expressions, particularly of her instinctual nature, which interprets new potential. But it was not foreseen how his presence would inspire her to even more. And so he tried to do what he was supposed to do, which was hold boundaries. But instead, as this became more difficult, it caused two things to happen. Number one, confusion. Confusion always drains energy. We need energy for consciousness. And so he says that the first problem happened because of the confusion this created in him. Again, life went to a lower level. And he said that, in trying to hold boundaries, it became trying to control. And trying to control is resistance to life. Thoughts are formed as a result of opposition to life. And when one lives in your thoughts, my brothers and sisters, you cannot truly love, you cannot truly see another, and you cannot truly assimilate, which is what true hearing is. And I want to look at that a little bit because Mother is really the infinite being, and I want to just tell you that my office, I have written in careful detail how Mother and Father relate and how Father was formed and how Mother contains within her all masculine, all feminine, except that she is in essence hermaphroditic in that she can create immaculately by herself either peace or both. And how she created Father, we have it in an email. If you contact my office, they will be happy to send you that. It's part of the question answers that we do for our email list, and I in detail worked it out, And I also told the email list that the sacred libraries that I've been involved in for over a year in translating their ancient records, I quoted a piece from one of the libraries that was preserved and gave the translation of it. And I asked, told them that if they want that, we can send it because it sheds further light on Mother's creation of Father. And this is Father, the God of Truth. So if you're interested in it, please call the office, make sure that they send it to you, and the subsequent translation, which actually that email is going out today. So, my brothers and sisters, the point is that when Father went into his head, he could not properly love Mother. He started to take Mother at face value, and he could no longer see her infinite, infinite qualities and beauty. And when I went into Ascended Mastery in 2005, in the very first phase of it, and I described these stages very carefully, how you get there, how you know where you are, as well as the transfigurations that happen and take place that can happen to any of you. In Secrets of the Hidden Realms, we've given full illustrations on how man transfigures to the apex of his reality and also beyond into the God Kingdom. But you will see that when you go into Ascended Mastery, the first phase is called the phase of the totally silent mind. Because all of a sudden, you don't have to come out of the silence of mind to relate to anyone, to write, to speak. I remember how disconcerting it was. I had to stand up in front of 1,000 people about a month after this happened and speak for an hour and had no idea what I said because it was totally on autopilot. This is the totally silent mind. Your mind will change again later on, and at one point you will be able to have three minds at once in the play, in that you're in the silence of your expansion, you're in the slightly expanded state of your higher vision, if you will, which you can see psychically, and then you can at the same time be fully engaged in doing something that is detail-oriented with focus to the details. And this opposing of life is where thoughts come from. When I silence them in God consciousness, which was where I could silence them, but I couldn't keep them silent if I was speaking to someone, my heart burst open. Tears flowed and flowed and flowed. I loved everything so much. I didn't think I could love it more until I went into Ascended Mastery's first phase. And in that first phase, the love that flowed from me, it was almost unbearable. It was that deep because the mind was silent. When this dialogue developed for the Father, he could no longer love Mother that way. And see, she lived from expanded silence. So here comes the next problem. And I said, what did Mother do? She too could not understand what was not in her. This caused, because she didn't have this opposition to life. She didn't take things at face value. She couldn't understand why Father didn't value the vastness of her, but rather the face value. So this caused confusion, and yet again, consciousness was lost, and a fall occurred. And I said, oh, Father, how sad. And he answered, yes. And because she had made her creations to gain self-knowledge, she gave them a certain amount of freedom of choice. She did not know which portions of what I was mirroring to her was indeed really her, and which parts was my own choice. Illusion formed. The unknown portions of beingness that had to be turned from the unknown to the known through experience. In other words, Mother didn't know now because she made her creations for self-knowledge. And so she had to study herself in their mirror. When there's only one being in existence, there cannot be much self-knowledge. And my brothers and sisters, when there isn't self-knowledge, there also isn't self-love. That has also been determined as one of the major causes of the fall, and Mother took the self-knowledge back to the very beginning before creation was made, because she's not in linear time. She can put something from one moment to the next, so that all creation was now made in self-love, because that also affected the level at which life could be formed. A creation cannot be larger than its creator. So Mother didn't know what he was mirroring to her, what she was and what she wasn't. That is illusion. And that was solved in August of 2006. And my question next came. So it was really only in August of 2006 that Mother knew what she was and what she was not, when illusion was done away with. And Father said yes. And I said, thank you, Father. May I ask, through your eyes, what is Mother like? And we will end with his answer, my beloved brothers and sisters. He says, there are not enough books in the cosmos to contain my answer. So this conversation I had with the Father, and it was in August of 2007. This loss of consciousness when confusion happens, my brothers and sisters, has also been a problematic thing for the earth and her people. If you read the dictation that I wrote down in the second half of The Gift of the Unicorns about the history of the cycles of ascension and descension that was given to me by the history keepers of our cosmos, a race of incredibly beautiful beings, named the Darklings. Mother had given them that assignment. You will see that multiple times huge cataclysms happened on Earth, because the Earth didn't come from this solar system, and its journey through space is chronicled in that second half of The Gift of the Unicorns. And so the issue that we have is that Mother try to protect the Earth from having shock, because shock and confusion drains energy. The Toltec seer's way is when he is confronted with the unexpected, such as my information to you might be unexpected. It certainly was to me. When you're confronted with the unexpected, you believe without believing. You know without knowing. In other words, you just put your mind on hold. Life will confirm to you whether something new and radical is true or not. All you need to do is ask the question, observe your environment. We've given the language on how to become literate in reading your environment in The Ring of Truth, as well as Secrets of the Hidden Realms. But you watch your environment. That is the place where the unknown becomes the known, where those signs are given. Thank you so much for sharing this hour with me, and we hope to be with you again soon. Thank you.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Elva Espada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Join us again next week.